Welcome to this special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Today's program is brought to you by Raccoon Valley Bank, Chewy's Auto Service, Dallas County Hospital, Hy-Vee, Perry Lutheran Home, Great Western Bank, Spring Valley Assisted Living, Affordable Quality Roofing and Exteriors, Walter Aviation, and Graphics 2U. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Raccoon Valley Bank and Chewy's Auto Service.
Welcome to our special edition of Health and Wealth in-depth program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. We are speaking with Dr. Clint Luderman from 21st Century Rehab at Dallas County Hospital about physical therapy and athletic training. So first of all, just give us the basics. What is physical therapy?
Physical therapy is movement, basically. We like to consider ourselves movement specialists. So looking at how people move, understanding basic human movement in different systems. So some physical therapists are specialists in physical movement, but we also look at other things such as fluid movement through the body and different things like that. And so the goal is to get people moving correctly to either get rid of pain or improve function or allow them to recover appropriately so they can do the things that they want to do.
Okay, so how does that movement therapy basically add to people's rehabilitation?
So each person comes in with something different, say post-surgery or they've had an injury or a fall or something like that. And so the goal then is to get them to kind of their optimal function. So we work on either actively moving through exercise, strengthening, things like that, or we will do some manual therapy. So we're assisting people moving through the range of motion, whether it be, you know, pick a body part, I guess, neck, shoulder, back, hip, knee, anything like that. So assisting them through moving, doing some stretching, and just kind of getting the tissue able to move and tolerant of moving if it is painful or inflamed.
Okay, now speak to that pain part of it, because I know a lot of people, myself included, avoid anything that has to do with pain. And that's a concern, I'd say, with most people when it comes to medical treatment. How painful can it be, and how do you allay that a little bit?
Sure, that's one thing that a lot of people are afraid of when they come into therapy, is because they think it's going to be very painful. Now, there are cases where it does hurt. If you've had surgery on something, you need to get it moving. There's obviously pain associated with that. We do try to work, obviously, with the patient to alleviate that a little bit or to mitigate that just by being aware of what their pain is and kind of stretching to the edge of pain, kind of pushing into the pain just a little bit. But the goal is not to be very painful when you're done. You may have some more soreness, but most people, I think, are surprised that, hey, I just got done with a therapy session. I actually feel a little bit better now than I did before I came in.
For sure. Now, what sort of injuries do you usually treat with physical therapy?
We see all sorts of things. And that's one of the things that I like about physical therapy, is you have the ability to work with a lot of different people with a lot of different injuries. The bulk of what we see at the hospital are outpatient orthopedic issues. So again, pick a joint, hip, knee. We see a lot of total knee replacements. That's a pretty common one. Back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, elbow, wrist, hand. Like I said, name the joint and we work with that. Some other unique services that we have, we do treat vertigo. So dizziness is something that we work on. We work with people just on general balance. Some people have been sick, they've been hospitalized, they're just weak, and so they need some things to work on building strength back up. Lymphedema, we have a lymphedema specialist in our clinic, and so she works with some of that swelling to get the fluid out of the tissue where it's just kind of sitting and stuck. Another therapist does some women's health for us, so incontinence, bladder control, things like that. So a broad spectrum of things that we see in our department.
Yeah, definitely a wide swath of things that you cover. Now, what's the typical recovery time for some of these common injuries with physical therapy, and then if someone wants to try to go it alone?
It really varies. Everybody's just a little bit different. But some common ones, let's say you have a total knee replacement. Typically, you're looking anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks of therapy. It's a typical recovery. The first couple weeks are kind of miserable, but then things tend to turn around from there. Rotator cuff repair is a long recovery. You're looking, you know, 3 to 6 months. Depending on what's going on there. And those are things that most people end up coming to therapy for, just because there are a lot of intricacies with that, trying to get people moving correctly and appropriately. You know, if someone comes in with just back pain, just started, don't really know what happened. Most of the time people get to us and they've kind of waited already at that point, thinking, oh, it'll go away. And now they're 2, 3, 4 months later and it hasn't gone away. we do notice that if people come sooner, earlier access to therapy, and research has shown earlier access to therapy helps to reduce the risk of opioids, pain medication, kind of all those things, and gets you back to function sooner.
All right. Now, what does a normal session with you at Dallas County Hospital look like?
We provide one-on-one care. And so when you come into your visit, the first visit usually takes about an hour. There's obviously the paperwork part that you have to do at first. After that, it's one-on-one with your therapist. So you're spending time talking about kind of your history, how you got to this point, what's going on, what you're limited with. And then we progress with typically some exercises, some manual therapy, potentially modalities like ultrasound or electrical stimulation, things like that. On a follow-up visit, again, we're going through your exercises, the program that we gave you before, maybe adding some new things, depending on how you responded to that. And then again, typically some manual therapy, stretching, getting the tissues or the joints moving. Follow-up sessions are typically anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes.
We will be right back with more of our program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Dallas County Hospital and Hy-Vee. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Perry Lutheran Home and Great Western Bank.
Welcome back to our special edition of Health and Wealth in-depth program. We are continuing our conversation with our guest, Dr. Clint Luderman, on physical therapy and athletic training. When someone comes to see you, is that usually an everyday thing, once a week, a couple times a week? How often do people usually see you?
Most often it's once or twice a week. It just depends on what's going on. For example, with the total knee again, the first couple weeks, maybe 2 to 3 times per week. And then typically we back off to just a couple times a week. Almost everybody that comes into therapy leaves with an exercise program, things that they need to work on at home. We can do a lot when you're in the clinic, but you know, adding to doing things every day. I don't need to see you every day, but there are things you need to do every day to kind of help yourself progress through your recovery. And so we help you with that, give you the exercises to work on. So hopefully people are doing those in between. Most people do. There are a few that even will outright admit, yeah, I haven't really been doing them. And so we always encourage that, just making sure people are doing their part. I think sometimes that's the part about therapy that people don't like, is that it's not a quick fix. It's not I take a pill and I feel better and the pain goes away. It's several weeks usually of recovery, but the ultimate goal is you're actually doing better. We're not just masking the symptoms, but you're actually recovered. The tissues have healed and now you can get back to doing the things you want to do.
Okay. Is there any type of injury that would require someone to visit physical therapy every single day, at least at first?
There are times with like wound care every once in a while, we'll do that. Let's say you've had a knee replacement or shoulder surgery and it gets stuck. It's just not moving very well. What they will sometimes do is they'll do a manipulation. So they go in, knock you out, and just basically force the knee or the shoulder to move, kind of break that scar tissue loose. And then typically we see you every day for a couple weeks just to try to maintain that mobility.
All right. Now we've talked a lot about the treated people. Let's talk a little bit more about the people who administer the physical therapy itself, and in particular, the education that's involved with becoming a physical therapist, because it's a doctorate position, correct?
Yes, it is. It's a doctorate program. And so it's get your undergrad degree in however long that takes you to get that. Hopefully 4 years, you get your undergrad degree. A lot of people get a degree in biology or exercise physiology or exercise science, kinesiology. There's a lot of ways that you can go. And then it's a typical 3-year program after that. So you're looking at least 7 years of school and you get a doctorate. Now there are physical therapist assistants, which is another program. That's a 2 to 3 year program depending on where you go. A lot of times people will still get their undergrad degree and then go into that for a 2-year program. So again, it's a lot of school, but the physical therapist assistant program is a lot less intensive, I guess.
Okay, now I know there's also sports medicine as a degree, but that's not a doctorate track, is it?
So you can get a sports medicine degree, and most of the time people will go on to do like medical school or something like that with that. Within physical therapy, you can get specializations. You can focus on one area versus another. For example, our lymphedema specialist, she can treat everything else. She does general physical therapy, but she got extra training and did extra certification work to get to that lymphedema certification. Similarly, some people just prefer to work with athletes or work in sports medicine, so they kind of gear their practice towards that. The nice thing here at Dallas County Hospital is we all kind of see a little bit of everything. We all have our preferences a little bit, obviously, but we all like to work with everybody. And so we kind of gear what we do towards that.
All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about the link between physical therapy and athletic training, because they do seem to go hand in hand a little bit, correct?
Yeah, there's a little overlap there. Athletic training is a little bit limited, at least in the state of Iowa, in what they can do within the clinic. And so insurance doesn't cover an athletic therapist in the clinic seeing a patient unless they're a physical therapist. And so there are a lot of people that will go that route. They'll start out athletic training in undergrad. They'll get their athletic training certificate, and then they'll go on and go to physical therapy school. But if you've just gone to athletic training and you're not a physical therapist, you can't see people in the clinic. And so that's the biggest limitation at this point. Now, once you get to the athletic venue, that's different, obviously. Athletic trainers are able to cover athletic events and provide that frontline injury screens, injury prevention, education, those things like that. Physical therapy crosses over in that where, again, if you have appropriate training and extra training, you can provide similar coverage at events like that. I do a lot of that. I'm not an athletic trainer. I'm a physical therapist with a sports medicine history, I guess. I've taken a lot of extra classes, education on concussions and concussion management, medical response, emergency medical response, and doing all that so that I can be appropriately educated and covering those events.
We will be right back with more of our program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Spring Valley Assisted Living and Affordable Quality Roofing and Exteriors. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Walter Aviation and Graphics 2U.
Welcome back to our special edition of Health and Wealth In-Depth program. We are finishing up our conversation with our guest, Dr. Clint Luderman. All right, now I want to circle back to concussions in a little bit, but first, just describe your duties, because you are basically the head trainer, I think, for most peri-athletic events. So describe your duties when it comes to covering those events.
So at the events, a lot of times it's being there. If a kid has an injury, if something happens on the court, for either team, really, that's where we kind of step in and just say, hey, this is maybe what's going on. This is a muscle strain or it's a sprain, and helping to guide the player and the coaches as far as if they can go back into play, if they can't, providing any taping or icing or just making those kind of immediate recommendations on what they should or shouldn't be doing. Always encouraging them to follow up. If it's a visiting team, encouraging them to follow up with their own athletic trainer or physician or somebody that can help kind of guide their recovery from that point forward.
Okay, have you ever had to tell like a student or even a coach, like, sorry, you can't go back in? Like, what's that conversation like?
Yeah, the nice thing is here, I've said it unfortunately more times than I want, but it's ultimately the safety of the athlete. And so having the conversation with the athlete, most of them really don't like when I say that. Most of the time they understand. I mean, they know that they can't go back in and perform at the level that they need to be able to perform. You know, something, if it hurts enough or if you're pushing it enough, it's going to be painful and they're not going to be able to move. There are some times where I almost have to prove that to them and say, okay, let's go do some testing on that ankle, and they try to cut and they, you know, can't do it. I'm like, well, if you can't do that, then you can't be back on the field or back on the court. And so then it's just a conversation with the coach. I've been around and doing this long enough, I think that there's a great relationship with the school here that the coaches respect my opinion, respect what I'm saying, and understand that if the kid could go back, I'm going to let them go back. It's not a matter of I want to hold everyone out. And some of it's situational. You know, you get hurt and you're ahead or behind by 20 or 30 points. Maybe it's just not the night to go back in. You know, if it was a one-point game, okay, then maybe we could figure something out. So being aware a little bit of situation, understanding the kids, and having a little conversation with the parents sometimes too on that, as far as getting their input as far as what they feel their athlete should be doing. Ultimately, I do have the final say on that, and thankfully haven't had much pushback from anybody.
For sure. Now, one last thing that I wanted to ask you about today involves concussions, because that's, I'd say, probably one of parents' biggest fears is their kid getting a concussion, playing football, playing soccer, that sort of thing. What is the concussion protocol like for you as the athletic trainer out there?
So on the sideline, again, a kid takes a hit, hits their head, something happens, whatever. I've noticed more and more over the years the kids are self-reporting, which is good. I think they're understanding the importance, Not all do. I have noticed, though, if a kid has had a concussion in the past, they're much, much more likely to come and tell me, hey, something's not right. I think they've been through it once, and so they understand how terrible you can feel with it, and so they don't want to risk that anymore. A lot of times, though, other kids' teammates are coming to me and saying, hey, you might want to check out Joe because he's kind of acting funny. And so then it's just a conversation with the kid. Thankfully, again, I know a lot of the kids here enough that I can tell a little bit when they're acting kind of funny or when they're maybe just they're kind of a funny kid anyway. So that's the challenge when you've got a visiting team is sometimes you don't know the kids very well. We've got a few tests that we do on the sideline, looking at some balance, looking at eye movement. We've got another test where the kids read through a list of numbers, and it looks at kind of eye movement and how it's functioning with your brain. And so we've got a few baseline tests as far as that goes to kind of help decide whether they can go back to play or they can't. From there, there's a computer test, the impact test that the school district has purchased so that we can kind of provide that extra line of defense for the kids. So they've all taken a baseline test. We'll go back and retake that test and see where they're at there. If everything looks normal and they haven't had any persistent symptoms, then we can kind of work through, okay, you can go back. A lot of times, though, when a kid does have a concussion, it's at least a week before they really start to feel better. So it's helping the athlete and the parents and the school understand what they can and can't do during the week at school, helping them get through school. The ultimate goal is to get the kid back into school full time so they can return to learn, get back into their education. You know, that's why they're at school, is for that piece. So working with the school and the teachers and the parents on that. Once they can get through a full day of school, then there's a kind of graded return to activity. So doing some light activity, and then every day that they still feel fine, you can increase the activity over a course of 3 or 4 days. Then we bring them back and retest everything. If the tests are all good, they can go back to full practice, full contact at practice. And if that's okay, then they can go back to playing.
All right. Well, Clint Luderman with 21st Century Rehab, anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners about physical therapy or athletic training today?
Just if you do have an issue, if you're having problems with anything, really, we talked about a lot of things. We kind of see a little bit of everything. You know, talk to your physician about it. If you have questions, you can call us directly. Most insurances do not require a physician referral for physical therapy. So you can call our clinic directly. Or like I said, if you already have a visit with your physician, if you're not sure about something, be sure to ask them about physical therapy. A lot of them are promoting it a lot just because, again, if you're not taking pain medication, there's a lot of other things that can go wrong while taking pain medication. So it's just another avenue.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's a look at physical therapy and athletic training with our guest, Dr. Clint Luderman, on the special edition of Health and Wealth In-Depth program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Raccoon Valley Bank and Chewy's Auto Service. Thank you for tuning into our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Today's program has been brought to you by Raccoon Valley Bank, Chewy's Auto Service, Dallas County Hospital, Hy-Vee, Perry Lutheran Home, Great Western Bank, Spring Valley Assisted Living, Affordable Quality Roofing and Exteriors, Walter Aviation, and Graphics 2U.